Welcome to The Sports Bubble, a production of iHeartRadio and Treefort Media. My name is Jensen Karp, and I'm a sports fan, which means I've spent the last 48 hours staring at this Patrick Mahomes contract extension. Listen, he deserves it. He's the best quarterback in the league. But 10 years? I don't even know what I'll be doing 10 minutes from now. To find that kind of gig in this climate? God bless that man. Considering what's happened in the last 3 months, though, I have to assume they'll be playing football in those weird clear bubble spheres, competing against ex machina-like robot dolls, and having playbooks digitally implanted into their heads when this contract runs out. It's now officially a KC dynasty, if you ask me. And you know what they say, when one door opens, another one in DeSean Jackson's house closes. And I'm still talking to athletes and sports industry professionals about what they're doing during this very weird time. Because someone has to. Welcome to the Sports Bubble with Jensen Karp. Bradley Wright Phillips found soccer superstardom in a rather unique way. The English-born forward started his career with Manchester City in the Premier League, but never found his groove, landing himself on second and third tier teams, prompting a move to the States and Major League Soccer. And where he may have stalled at home, he excelled abroad. As part of the New York Red Bulls, he became one of the league's all-time greats as a two-time Golden Boot winner, two-time All-Star, and three-time team MVP. The son of legendary Arsenal forward Ian Wright and brother DeSean, who played in both England and the U.S. as well, went above and beyond any expectations, finally finding comfort in his game in the Big Apple. That is until last year. He was injured, having trouble scoring, and now at 35 might finally be showing signs of slowing down. But as soon as you start to think Bradley is out, well, that's when he's in. Signing a new contract with the defending Supporters Shield champs LAFC, Wright Phillips is ready to prove his haters wrong. But also, he's completely terrified. We spoke only days before he was set to leave for Florida to play in the MLS's back tournament, still in the dark about how he'll stay safe while away from his family for 3 months. We have a raw conversation about what he's facing and how he honestly is not comfortable. We also talk about the longstanding racism in his sport, if a tournament win will mean anything at all, and if activism is just moot in 2020. It's a very real and important listen this week in the Sports Bubble.
Call from
Bradley Wright Phillips.
To accept, press 1. Press.
Hello, Bradley.
Jensen, what's up?
Oh, man. I usually start these interviews asking where you've been quarantined, but with you, it's slightly different. We're getting ready for the MLS's back tournament. Am I assuming you are in Orlando?
Nope.
Oh.
In LA right now.
Okay, so they are supposedly starting Wednesday. Are you planning on going out?
Yeah, there was a few things where I might not have gone. Some like personal reasons. I just needed my family to be sorted, you know, because if I'm being totally honest, it's a tough ask, you know. Obviously, we all miss football, but it's a tough ask what they're asking. But yeah, I think I'll be good to go. Yeah, but I think because we're in LA, we didn't have to go as soon as everyone else. We could still do team training, so it's good, you know. The less time there, I think, the better, you know. If I'm being honest, if you're just locked in a room for however long. You know, it's going to be tough. So, we're delayed it a bit.
I have tons of questions. One, you have a 3, a 7, an 11-year-old. You have a wife as well. Are these people that will be going with you to this bubble of sorts?
No, it's another thing that it crossed my mind to do, but I'm not sure how the options were in doing that. And also, I'm not sure how dangerous it is. I don't want to be away from them that long. Mm-hmm. You know, I've just moved them out here, you know, from New Jersey, and then I've got to leave them. So I felt bad in that way. But then I don't want to bring them to a place now and they're just stuck, you know, with maybe a risk of getting a virus. So it was a tough one, but they're going to be in LA.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's such a fake out too, because you're going to tell your kids you're going to Disney World, and yet it would be the least cool version of Disney World for them ever.
Exactly that. And it's funny, yeah, you brought it up, because when I told my son I'm probably going to Orlando to play in this tournament, he's like, can I come? I want to come. I want to go to Disneyland. I'm like, trust me, mate, it's not going to be what you think. And he doesn't let up. He still wants to come. I'm like, I can't do that to you, mate. I really can't.
Yeah, there's a distinct difference between Orlando and Disney World, and you're going to Orlando.
Yeah, well, he thinks Orlando is Disney World. That's the only thing he thinks exists there.
Well, he's gonna miss out on a hotel room. So yeah. Do you know, like, have they filled you in on the process? Like, once you land, are you, like, driven somewhere in, like, a big outbreak truck? Like, do you know? Have they told you?
Yeah, they've told me. We've got a bit of information on it, but I won't lie to you, because I was so against, you know, I was kind of against it in the beginning. So I'm not really sure what happens when you get there. I think you go there, you have some testing, and then you go into quarantine for, I want to say, this could be total bullshit too, but I want to say 72 hours, maybe less. Mm-hmm. And then if you're tested negative, then you go out and you train as normal for the team. If you're positive, I think you stay in quarantine until you figure things out, I guess.
It's just the weirdest summer camp. It's like, I can't even fathom you guys, all these professionals, your whole life have played one way, and now they have you in this strange wait here, stay in your room alone. It is very strange.
Yeah, I don't really care how I come across here, because it's no secret to me, and I just think it's a little bit stupid, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think we could have waited like the rest of the leagues, and you train until you're able to play, and that's it. You're taking us all to a place now in a bubble where you've got to stay in your room away from your families. You know, some people got some real life issues, you know, to deal with, and you just got to go and leave your family for how long, you know. But I guess money talks, my friend.
Money does. The league, I mean, I'm not piling on here. I don't want you to think I'm just hitting you, but league said this last Sunday, 18 players, 6 staff members test positive before leaving for Orlando. But then yesterday it's reported 6 Dallas players test positive. Now the entire team is quarantined. They did not test positive before they left for Orlando. This isn't a bubble. If people are getting coronavirus while inside it, or if, you know, people are coming and going that work for Disney, I mean,
exactly.
I guess when you get there, are you still going to reassess?
Yeah, I think it'll be team first and see what everyone else is doing. Like, my initial thoughts are just, yeah, once we're getting all this information, are we still going? Every morning I wake up and like, are we still going?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think once I get there, I stay in my room and I'll just play Call of Duty. I'll play Call of Duty until I have to train. I'll train and get back to the room and play Call of Duty. I'm not going to try and mingle or do anything. I've got a family to think about.
I am with you there. Listen, I got to give you my honest opinion and fear of the food situation. Everyone saw the hashtag yesterday regarding the $65 lunch or whatever it is. I want you to pack as much Lunchables as possible. Anything you can get your hands on at the market, bring it with you.
Yeah, just bring it. 100%.
I'm very scared.
100%. I'm going to go shopping on Sunday.
The rumor of your LAFC teammate and reigning MVP, Carlos Vela, not returning, do we know if that's for sure? Or, I mean, it seems like it's for sure he's not coming.
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. Honestly, there's not much talk on who's going. I think people sort that out between them with John and Bob. I know when I had concerns, that's what I did. I don't think many people knew my situation, you know, so I'm not really sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, because he has a pregnant wife. This obviously would hurt the team, and not that that's the top priority, but it's going to put you in a place to step up. And I was wondering if you were able to get comfortable with your team. This is a new squad for you in LA.
Yeah,
mostly individual practices and maybe some Zoom calls. Are you comfortable with these dudes?
Yeah, and do you know what? I felt more comfortable now just after we got to resume team training. I've been there for a while now. You know, it's weird because of the lockdown. It just feels so strange. It's like I get introduced and then something happens. Then I came. Remember, I came. I got surgery, so I was injured. I wasn't getting to train with the team. So it's been stop start, but I do feel like one of the boys now. I think, you know, I'm lucky enough since I've been in America to be in 2 good changing rooms where the guys are really good. And I'm not just saying that, you know, really like cool guys that if I wasn't playing football, I'd still want to know these kind of people. So I've been lucky in that way. They've been good to me. And now I do feel part of the team. You know, I feel good.
Yeah. And obviously you have a green card here. You are a citizen, but I was wondering with the EU shutting down basically any tourism from the US, has that affected you at all? Or is that just, I mean, it seems everything, it's like you said, you wake up every day and there's just a new par for the course.
I'm telling you, it's like, nobody knows anything. It's like, yeah, you wake up as a new rule or something else you can't do or something you can do now. I just go with the flow. Traveling to England hasn't affected me. I went recently for some personal reasons. Other than that, yeah, it hasn't affected me. And, the furthest I go is to the park to give the kids some fresh air because they're like caged animals right now and training, and that's it.
Yeah, it's insane. You turned 35 during quarantine, by the way. Did you do anything fun for your birthday? Did you have friends drive by?
No, do you know what? My birthday is March the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And on that day, that was the last day we got told we can't come into training. And on that evening, she took me to a restaurant. We went out and ate, had a few drinks, you know. So I luckily got a nice little you know, celebration.
Good.
Yeah, and then we had a little, you know, cake at the house with the family. So it wasn't bad, but that was actually the last day or something normal.
Yeah, well, you know, turning 35, huge career change for you leaving New York, a football team, a soccer team, just absolutely connected to you forever. You're coming off an injury, like you said, showing you're still this MLS powerhouse. How important is that to you?
Yeah, you know what? At first, when I left Red Bull and I wasn't sure what I was going to do, where I was going to go, I was almost done, you know, not retiring, but I just thought, you know what, I got nothing to prove. I don't care what anyone thinks. And then just the way it come about, then I'd read certain things and hear things. And my last season at Red Bull, I was injured. You know, a lot of people don't really know the ins and outs. Like, even when I was on the bench or coming on, I was injured. And I just thought, I don't want to go out like that. And then I get a second chance with LAFC. So it's just for all the, like, kind of doubters, everyone that thinks, yeah, he's older now, his last season wasn't great. It just gave me a new lease of life to where I have something to prove. Because it's not easy to find those kind of things in the game when you've been somewhere for so long or done something for so long. You have to find little ways to, you know, to get ahead. And I think, you know, having to find a new team and actually getting a really good team where I feel like I can fit in and do well, it's giving me just a new goal. And I just can't wait to get out there and prove myself.
Yo, can I tell you something, though? How crazy is soccer that you had one bad season after five or six of the greatest in the sport of in the league of MLS?
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, he's done, dude. I was like, man, that is one season.
But that's the world we live in. It's like everything, even if you look at music. Mm-hmm. Like, someone puts out an album one week and you listen to a few tracks and next week someone else has got one. No one cares, you know? It's up to the individual or the people to say that I'm not done. You know, this is what I can still do and keep proving people. It's actually the world we live in. We can get everything quick.
Yeah.
You know, I guess people think they can just go and get another striker that would do that. And that's just the world we live in. It's up to us to say, no, I'm actually, like, still good. You know, I can actually still play.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that, though. It's a challenge.
Good. You had a legendary run, like you said, with the Red Bulls. They retired your jersey before you even retired.
Yeah.
You'll be in LA, a team defending the Supporter Shield in the most difficult tournament division in Florida. It appears you're going to be flying out there on Wednesday, at least. So what do you see your chances as a team being able to win this thing?
Yeah, as a team, it's difficult to say because, you know, everyone's coming out of lockdown and you don't know where anyone is. What I do know is that we've trained very hard. I think we've got a lot of honest people. Apart from the talent's obvious. Anyone that watches the MLS would know LAFC is probably the best footballing team. You know, got the best player in the league at the moment. So I think that goes without saying. But I think the work we've put in behind the closed doors, I think I'm hoping, you know, it will show when we get there. But you never know what to expect.
Yeah.
It's a whole different setting. No fans, no, you know what I mean? It's weird. You know, how serious are some player teams going to take it and so on. But we've definitely got a good chance.
More with the LAFC's Bradley Wright Phillips after this. Right now, Feeding America is working tirelessly to ensure our most vulnerable populations, like students who are out of school, the elderly, individuals whose jobs are impacted, and low-income families, continue to have access to food and other needed resources during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Feeding America Food Bank Network is committed to serving communities and people facing hunger in America, and their greatest need is donations and support of local food banks. This podcast is committed to donating a portion of the proceeds from the show to Feeding America, and we hope that you can join us in this effort too. Find out how you can help at feedingamerica.org/COVID-19. And now, the rest of my chat with MLS great and LAFC striker Bradley Wright Phillips. You were one of the 16 individual players who was able to take advantage of sort of the strange MLS practices that happened after the pandemic. We spoke with Brian Rowe, and he explained it to us, and it truly sounded like a nightmare. He would, like, wait in his car, they'd call him, he'd walk in, he'd basically be covered with a hefty bag, he couldn't pass to people. It was just like, did you get anything good out of those?
Do you know what? I did. I think why it wasn't as bad for me is because before that, we were just training. We were finding parks where you could train and run, you know, uneven grass. You got dogs running around you. So for me, just getting back to the facility, I know it wasn't the best terms, like training alone, but you still got to see some of your teammates. You got a good field. You had goals, small goals, passing, balls, everything, you know. You had things that you couldn't bring to the park. So for me, it was annoying. When I look back at it now, it's like, what the hell was that? You know, just waiting in your car. It was kind of crazy. But at the time, it was a great change for me because I was fed up of going to the park and dogs running around my calves and nipping at my ankles. I was fed up.
Yeah. I mean, also, we're both in LA, me and you. And I mean, it doesn't help that you have to make this decision in the middle of what we're going through in LA with the cases spiking. It seems like we're going to go back into quarantine. Bars are closing for the next 3 weeks and stuff. Like, have you guys, has your family been basically inside and that's it for the past 3 months?
Yeah, we have, actually, I think. My wife writes, so every now and again, she'll find a hotel that's, you know, not too popular. She'll get into a hotel and then she locks herself in a room and writes. Yeah, but other than that, yeah, we've just been in the house. Honestly, the park has been our best friend. We go to the park every now and again and that's it, honestly. Training, home, homework, I'm a school teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm breaking up 90 fights a day. I'm not the only one, but it's been tough. It's been tough.
Yeah, 3, 7, 11, those are all pretty serious ages. That's hard to keep down, let alone on a chair, than the house. I mean, that's not easy.
I'm telling you, it's been tough.
Beyond the pandemic, the world has obviously been focused on a racial division and the murder of George Floyd. And coming from soccer in the Premier League, you and your brother have seen and been accustomed to a racism in sports that we don't even necessarily know, at least in public in the United States. I'm wondering if you could speak on that experience that you guys have faced in the past.
Honestly, growing up, you get it. But it's something that isn't right, even when I said it's now, that you learn to just live with and deal with. I'm not going to say I've been abused in every game I've played. But yeah, it's been about. But even now when I see, just to quickly go off, even now when I see everyone coming together, I like it, but I don't like where it's going to where it's almost like a trend now and it just feels like a lot of sheep. I've always been on the side of if I can make some real change or if people can make some real change, let's do that. Let's come together and make a real change. But this is not a secret. This has been in the game or just in life for hundreds of years. So I'm just not down with what's going on at the moment with just everyone just posting a black picture. Mm-hmm. Do you know where I'm going with this almost? You know what I'm saying? I just want some real change or I don't want nothing. Don't pretend. Please don't pretend to me. Don't try. And this ain't at you, by the way. So I don't need sympathy. I just want real change or please don't come to me with anything. I want to work on something now with a few players where I can, where I can make some real change or just open some eyes in a different way. At the moment now, just what I'm seeing is just annoying. Some things are just annoying because this isn't new.
Yeah, it's a little weird to have people say, hey, don't kill us. You know, the police are killing us. And the response is, let's make sure that no white people do the voices to black characters in cartoons. It just seems like a very strange connection because it's like, well, the stakes are so much higher than those things. And
higher than this, exactly.
Yeah. And I guess maybe as someone who watched soccer kind of from the side eye, I'm not a super fan. I love researching it more than anything else. Watching real sports, there was a segment years ago that was very famous here in the States where it was the first time I had seen the throwing of bananas or the chants or the things that just, to me, were mind-blowing. Even living in a country that I know has systematic racism, to see it so public and the anti-Semitism in soccer, those things were so damaging to watch that I almost thought to myself, and I know your brother's talked about his experience where he felt he couldn't leave the field, he couldn't leave the pitch. And is that, I mean, obviously in MLS, it's probably a lot, I hate to say hidden.
Yeah, you won't get that.
Yeah, but was that maybe part of why you may not have felt as comfortable there? I mean, you play in the Premier League, you come to MLS and you really thrive and you beyond anyone's expectations. And I wonder, so much about jobs, not even just sports, but so much about jobs is about being comfortable. And I wonder how much it meant to you to come to a place where that crazy stuff wasn't happening.
Yeah. And you know what? At the time, there was a lot of things that were pissing me off or getting on my nerves, just about just how football is in England. There's a lot of things, some my own doing and just somehow things work, how things were set up, very old school in the ways of the coaching, how people thought. And now you ask me that, there was a little bit of those things, but I wasn't thinking, honestly, that black and white to where it's racist here or along those lines and I have to leave. But there's a lot of things that I didn't like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it's just such a tricky conversation. And because it's been happening so long and I just don't know how to change certain things. I honestly think that, I think our generation or whatever, I'm not sure your age, but we're just a lost cause. I don't want to sound like I'm giving up, but I think just in your household, make sure your kids are raised right. Your neighbor, do you know what I'm saying? I think almost this period we're in, even everyone that's with the movement, it's good. Yeah, it's good to see there's some unity, but I think it's almost a lost cause. I honestly do. I think the kids have got to, be taught different ways. and from there, and so on. Even now, my words are like jumbled because it frustrates me to even talk about some things because I'm just like, nothing will be done about this. So it's just kind of frustrating. But that isn't why I left England. It wasn't just that black and white. That's not why I left England. But yeah, there's some bullshit that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I have a one-year-old and I just, my wife and I have focused on the idea that we think it's 20, we say about 25 and under. I'm 40.
Yeah.
So we just have hope for them. I mean, I had read Ian Desmond's Instagram post last week that he did about baseball and the systematic kind of racial bias in the league. And it felt so heavy that, like you said, it's like, oh, I don't think there's anything, as sad as it sounds, we almost have to start over by saying, oh, we're the idiots. Don't worry about us.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's almost like a loss. Cause that's what I'm trying to say. I think, yeah, we can do what we can now, but I think our vision has just got to be for the kids, for our children, and that's it. Because you're not going to change how. I'm not even saying he's a racist or whatever, but you're not going to change how Donald Trump thinks. Mm-hmm. You're not going to change how the CEO of or wherever a multi-million-dollar company thinks. You're not going to change that, you know. So it's just a tough one.
Yeah,
and black people for a long time have learned to live with. Some people have learned to live with, that's not right either, but you learn to live with it or you, yeah, I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure. Honestly, you can hear by how I'm talking, I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
I just think, yeah, it's almost until we're teaching the kids the right way to live, the right way to think and so on, it's, yeah, I think we're just a lost cause.
Have you been impressed at all by what the Premier League has done so far? Or does it just feel symbolically gesture-based?
Yeah, it's nice to see. It seems like, you know, when you're just watching it or you see a picture of it, yeah, it looks nice. But how many of those people actually care? Mm-hmm. Like how many people that are kneeling? Again, don't mince my words. This looks good. It shows unity. It shows that it's being thought about. But how many people kneeling or how many people wearing Black Lives Matter on the back of their shirt actually care? Like how many give a shit? Because I can come off here now or you can off this phone call and post something. Mm-hmm. Post a nice picture with the nicest words and you could be just lying. I've seen people go to riots, take a picture, or riots, I shouldn't even say that, protest, mm-hmm. take a picture and get back in the car and go home. So, you know what I mean? Yeah, it looks good, but I don't know, if it's coming from your heart and it's real and it bothers you and you're in bed at night, fair enough.
Yeah.
But if it don't, just don't get involved. Like, just don't do it.
Yeah, I guess that's just do what you've been doing the last 70 years, 100 years.
Yeah, because you've seen this. Because let's be honest, it's only a few, when was it? Maybe last season or most seasons. There's players getting racial abuse in Italy at the manager and the teammates are saying they shouldn't have walked off the pitch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? This happens.
Yeah.
You think you're changing all how the way those fans think by putting right, everyone kneeling. You're not going to change. I like the way we're doing that. I like the way if people are interested in it, if people have a real passion for it, you're showing unity. But I don't know if that's what changes those set of fans or that's what changes the CEO at so-and-so. I don't know if that's what changes their minds.
Yeah.
Do you understand my point?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess it's even hard for me because I want to ask you, do you see protesting or acts of like social justice awareness during this tournament coming up? But like, it's like, what is that going to actually do? And it's true that we should all do something because it's a great metric. We should obviously see it. And kids like mine and yours should see these things yeah. because it's important. But what is really going to change if someone does something in a soccer game or in a baseball game or a football game? It truly is about, and I think that's what a lot of athletes are facing when they're asked to go back right now. We've seen it with
yeah.
guys like Avery Bradley in the NBA and Ian Desmond in baseball. Like this is a question everyone is asking and there's no wrong answer, but it's difficult.
Yeah. If you really care what I think, don't judge me if I don't turn up to football because I'm hurt about this. Don't judge, yeah, you know, like a basketball player, then I don't want to play right now. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're going to a camp as well. If you really care, then let's, you know what I mean? Let's let people do what they want to do. Not, okay, come, but we'll all kneel. Okay, we'll come back, but yeah, we'll all have Black Lives Matter on it. Okay, that looks good. You've covered your back, Premier League or MLS or whatever. You look like you care. Mm-hmm. But what about the people that don't? There might be people still affected from this and don't want to go to work, don't want to work, don't want to play sport right now. They might want to do something to make a real change.
Yeah.
These people don't care. That's what I think anyway. They don't care.
And also, I guess a big thing too is what about in 6 months? What about in a year?
It will go. It will go.
That's the burnout. Yeah, they'll be gone.
It will go. And this is my beginning point about if it's a trend. It's a trend. If you go on my Instagram, you won't see any of the following things. I know what I think. I know how I feel. I've felt like this for years. but it's a trend. Soon something else will happen and this will be gone. This will be gone.
One of the harder things that I've seen recently was your father, the legendary Arsenal player Ian Wright, posting his support of Black Lives Matter and was met with just these disturbing racist messages that he replied. I mean, is he like you? Is he sort of like, I know this. This is what I've faced my entire career. I mean, I don't want to say jaded or callous.
He's probably had it worse. He's had it worse than I have, you know? He's probably had it worse than I have for sure, actually. But this ain't even him just posting that and showing that. That's because he's fed up. This is like, that's not even a new thing. That's just because he's fed up, he's posted that now. And he's just like, something has to be done. At least shame this guy. At least shame these people. Mm-hmm. But this is a normal thing, you know?
Yeah.
And that's someone that's done very well in his country, like, very well for himself. And this is how people will treat him or think they can talk to him.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, what do you think that kid's thinking when he sees the Premier League doing what they're doing, like all of that stuff, you know, Black Lives Matter, like all of these things. Do you think that kid is like, oh man, he's not thinking that.
Right.
He thinks, fuck those guys. Like, that's what he thinks. And this brings him back to my point. That's why I don't, even talking about this, I just feel like it just goes around in circles. It's like, unless I can do something real and I'm still working on things, thinking about stuff, unless something real can happen, it's just bullshit. Because like you said, people are going to forget about all of this soon to when there's a new trend or new something else happening.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw Maya Moore this week, who, you know, took off a season of WNBA to kind of crusade for someone who was improperly imprisoned for assault and burglary charges, and he was released this past week. And it just makes me question being on a stupid microphone podcasting. It's like, is there things to do? Are there too many things? What can I do? I mean, these are just questions that should be racing in everyone's mind.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what you don't do. You do what you keep doing what you're doing. You don't just do anything to do it.
Yeah.
Something will come to you where you can literally make a change or help or get a message out there that is from your heart and you think will affect people in the right way. Then you do that. I think there's a lot of people just doing anything.
Yeah.
They're pressured. Even my old team, I saw a thing like, and this ain't, I don't even know if I should say this, it might be too far. No, forget that anyway. Forget it.
Well, I never expect you to censor yourself, but okay.
Nah, I don't normally, but I don't want things to come out too, because I even had a chance to even think about things myself. So I don't want it to come out too raw, you know, but just do things from the heart. Do things if you want to do it. If you are racist, and I don't pretend that, okay, you're going to do this to show everyone you're involved. You know, just do things from the heart. If you have nothing to say right now, don't say it. You might have something amazing or life-changing to say in 2 or 3 months.
Well, on a much lighter note, we are both hip-hop heads. You and I are both what I call retired MCs, which is...
Retired.
Yep, that is a title that only a few of us can really have in an exclusive club.
Any legends.
Yeah, two legends in the game. But I wanted to close out by seeing if you had some suggestions for listeners who want some new names in grime. This is a American, I say it's been very elusive here. We know Skepta, who's, I know, a personal friend of yours. We know the big names,
yeah.
But I wanted to see if there was anyone you could suggest to us kind of on the horizon, someone that we might not know about.
On the horizon. It's tough to say on the horizon because I should have got a list. You lot should have texted me because all I do is listen to grime, really.
Okay.
So what you want to be listening to, because I don't think, and he's not on the horizon, or these guys are not on the horizon, uh-huh. But they just don't get their credit worldwide. But you want to listen to OG, so that's like Little D, mm-hmm. T-Money, Blacks, Gender, Desperado. This is on recording, so you'll get all those names.
Yeah.
Then you got another legend that should be heard all around the world, just as much as Skepta is. Like, have you heard of Kano?
Yes, I love Kano.
Kano, amazing. But I don't know, he should be like in America right now. He's talented, not just good in England, just in the world.
He's a Drake favorite. I know Kano through Drake.
Oh, Drake likes it? Yeah, yep. Like, that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, so many grime, like, this is too many. Obviously, have you guys heard of DEE?
No, I do not know DEE.
DEE, grime legend, on the horizon. See, I'll get some younger names now, people that don't really get their dues even in England.
Here, it's like they're all emerging, because, yeah, we don't have a scene here. We have to follow you guys.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you should start putting on some events, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll get them over, we'll fly them over.
If events exist. I do like... this group out of the, definitely not grime, just hip hop, but out of the UK, these guys, Cult of the Damned, DAMNED. You hear them at all?
Cult of the Damned.
Yeah.
Nah, what are they, hip hop? Or are they like, yeah. Are they like proper hip hop, like lyrics and, or are they?
They're kind of boom bap. They're kind of like, they're a little bit of a, underground feeling, a little bit like a late 90s.
Okay, I'm going to search them right after this.
Yeah, Cult of the Damned. They have a song called Nicole I really like, but they're a British group that nobody talks about, so I'd throw them in the mix. It's not grime. I never want to pretend I know what you're talking about, but at least with the boom bap stuff, I know the lyric guys.
Yeah, no, I'm going to check those. I'm going to check them out. Yeah, there's so many, man.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to follow, but I am very excited for you to get back on the field if that's the case. What I'm really more excited about is for you to make a decision based on what you see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for talking to me and good luck with everything, man.
No, thank you, man. Thank you for having me on. And remember, people, be yourself. Be yourself. Don't just say things, not you, the people. Don't just say things to say, be yourself.
The Sports Bubble is produced and distributed by Treefort Media. The show is executive produced by Kelly Garner, Lisa Ammerman, Matthew Kugler, and me, Jensen Karp. Tom Monahan is our senior audio engineer and sound supervisor, with production and editing by Jasper Leek. Additional production help from Tim Schauer, June Rosen, and Haley Mandelberg. Our theme music is composed by Spilkus. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please subscribe, rate us, and review us on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And please visit feedingamerica.org. If you're able to make a donation, any amount makes a difference, and you can learn more about other ways you can help on their website. For more information on the Sports Bubble, links to the socials, and for show transcripts for our hearing impaired listeners, go to treefort.fm. Be safe and be well. The Sports Bubble is a production of iHeartRadio and Treefort Media. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.